It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are continuing our series with the individual Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors. There are five board members, and this week we're joined by District 3 Representative Anaya Kirk. Supervisor Kirk, it's good to see you again.
Good morning, BJ, and thank you, my Motherlode, for having me. It's always an awesome opportunity to be here and touch base with the community.
So District 3, remind us, where does it all cover?
Yeah, so obviously it starts at the top of the pass 108. You work your way all the way down through the 108 corridor, parts of Tweenhart, and then you come down parts of Soulsbyville, and then out through Woodham Carn, out to Tuolumne City area, and then up to Ponderosa Hills. You kind of do that fish hook. And it's a huge district, lots of U.S. Forest Service. And yeah, in a nutshell, that's kind of the gist of my district.
So looking at your district, you know, kind of talking hyper-local before we get into more county as a whole issues, what are some kind of projects or issues specific to District 3 right now?
Sure. I think I'll just jump into the first one on my list. I would say I'm still getting phone calls and emails, people specifically in the Tweenhart area asking about the Tweenhart Shopping Center. And so I did check in with CDD, and things are basically kind of where they were a year ago. We're still waiting for plans to be submitted. We're waiting for some things like the drainage study and a few other studies that need to be completed before a permit can be issued. So I'll just simply let the folks know publicly, you know, our board did approve some development up there in Tweenhart. I did vote no against it for some reasons. You can go back and look at that board meeting from a year ago. But to answer the question, Tweenhart Shopping Center is still being worked on and developed on. And so I'd say another thing going on in my district, and actually we just had a board meeting presentation the other day on this from PG&E. But, you know, due to all the ignitions and a lot of the lawsuits and whatnot, PG&E has been coming in over the years, and they've been doing a lot of hardening. And so I remember a few years ago, you know, this new idea of hardening the lines with that plastic coating. It was just getting started. It was pretty cool to see the other day that we've got 45 miles worth of that overhead done. And most of it is actually in the District 3, in my district. So pushing all the way out to Cedar Ridge, but a lot of it is in Tweenhart, Confidence, Sugar Pine, Sierra Village, running up to Sunrise Drive up there in 108. And again, that's been a big undertaking. And there's also going to be some underground work that's going to take place in the future. But that is big just for my district specifically because, once you hit the 108 corridor and you get to the top of Tweenhart Pass, the windstorms, the snow, whether it's with outages or with wind and fire ignitions, that's been a huge deal to get done in our district to keep it safe. I would say another thing, and just on that too, I just want people to know, because I had it written down, because of that hardening, it looks like we've had 72 less ignitions. And then as far as power going out, I believe we've had a 40 to 60%. I might be getting the numbers backwards, but either 40 or 60% reduction in outages. So that's a great thing. I'd say another big thing that's been going on for years, but we just got to continue to highlight it because we're leading the nation when it comes to our natural resources and our forage management. We really truly have something special in Tuolumne County with the Master Stewardship Agreement and with YSS and all the collaboration. But this whole CERL project that's been going on for years, it continues to gain momentum. It continues to do work. And to date, I think we have about $28 million of the $50 million that's been allocated to do this work. We're continuing to do work, CERL 2.0. There's going to be additional phases. And so let me back up. When people say, what is CERL? What is this project? It's simply, if you drive up the 108 corridor and you see all that work that's been taking place, you know, when you're driving up to Pinecrest and you look to your left and you see all the forest that's been thinned out, that's just a small fraction of a piece of the CERL work. It goes deeper and deeper into the woods. It includes mastication. It includes some clearing. It includes controlled burning. And really, it's just amazing. And something that was highlighted to our board, we had a OES presentation, a storyboard. I might be saying it wrong. But it's a presentation, and it showed all the work that's taken place over the years, and it's all colorful. And if you go onto their dashboard, basically we've created a horseshoe around Tuolumne County, and that's going to keep us fire safe. It's going to keep us, you know, if there's ever a mega fire out in the U.S. Forest Service lands out there in the forest, it would hopefully keep us from ever burning down and keeping us safe. And really, at the end of the day, we all know that, you know, visiting Tuolumne County, the money that comes in for recreation is our biggest source of revenue. So for me, it's all about don't burn down. A lot of people have heard me say my new economic plan is let's not burn down, which is why we've made so much investments into fire and into law enforcement. So let me I'll wrap it up with another couple things, I guess, specific to my district. Or here, we'll just end it on this one, Pinecrest. So even though Pinecrest is in my district, everybody who lives in Tuolumne County visits that place for the most part, you know, one day or another during the summertime or spring or fall, along with hundreds of thousands of tourists. I believe our numbers might be around 200,000 people visit that from June to August. So since I've been in office, I've heard nothing of complaints. It's gotten way worse since COVID regarding the Pinecrest Basin, which is part of the reason why my nonprofit at the time, Tuolumne Safe, we put in a siren there in Strawberry to kind of help offset some of the concerns with evacuations. But what I want to say is we've had a good relationship with the U.S. Forest Service, and you know, we've been trying to piecemeal that together as best as possible to make that a better experience. But with the resources that our board has put into the Sheriff's Department with the new, you know, additional 17 deputies, they have been able to finally effect change. So this summer, we started seeing deputies up there ticketing and enforcing the law. We've had a lot of people who are parking illegally. So a while back, we put some no parking signs up. Moving forward, we are looking at potentially doing some fire lanes. We're looking at an ordinance structure fee of increasing the fines. Because right now, if you're up there, I believe the ticket's like $25. I mean, I would park illegally next to the beach, you know, in Pinecrest for $25. So we're looking at making that fine much more expensive. And with the potential fire lanes, it will get even more expensive if people do it illegally. And then we're also looking at some overflow parking ideas. There is a discussion that's going to take place about a parking fee to help offset some of the revenues to put back into the Sheriff's Department, to put back into some of the contracts up there to keep that place clean. And really to get more law enforcement up there. And also we've been talking with Tom McClintock's office on a federal side to see if there's grants or if there might be some revenue opportunities. So I guess what I want you to know and what the people of Tuolumne County know is it's been on my radar for years. We've done what we could, but now with law enforcement in place, now's the time to act, and we're acting quickly and trying to come up with a plan that works and that would just be a better experience for everybody and also pay for itself. So those are some of the bigger things going on in my district.
Yeah, right, some interesting highlights there. You know, a parking fee, is that something that the county could do even though it's kind of a Forest Service area?
Yeah, so that's what we're looking into. I believe we can. We haven't had that. Internally, we've had the discussion about the meetings and setting things up and getting all the partners together. So that's going to be forthcoming. But you know, the quick math for me is if we have 200,000 people coming in from June to August at $5, it'd be $1 million. At 10 bucks, it'd be $2 million. And the idea would be to support law enforcement and really at the end of the day, I didn't say this. At the end of the day, it's about safety, because I've been up there personally, and I actually don't even go up there anymore during the summer. It's just ridiculous. And it's just ridiculous. But I was up there this summer one day for whatever reason, and there was literally one lane in, one lane out because of the amount of people parking illegally. So it's about safety. It's about getting people in and out. And if there was a problem, having a proper egress, which is why we're looking into an overflow possibility with a private business up there. But I believe we can do that. And we're going to start uncovering the rocks and seeing what we can do. So
going back to the PG&E stuff too, real quick, you mentioned the hardening and kind of had the success that has been. Did you say that there could be some undergrounding in Twain Hart as well?
Yeah, there's discussion. Most of the undergrounding that's going to take place is going to be up in Groveland, but they do have potential. I'd have to get the map up. The map I have in front of me is the overhead stuff, but I did during the meeting, I believe there was discussion about maybe a portion of it. I advocated specifically for Twain Hart. If you look at my 108 corridor, you know, there's every single community is important. And the point I made is Twain Hart's probably the biggest economic portion of my district as far as with the amount of businesses and residents, and it would just make more sense to do undergrounding there. So if the power did go out, at least in Twin Heart, more of an economic hub, more people population-wise. So I advocated specifically for Twin Heart, but I also advocated saying, hey, if Underground's going to take you guys, you know, years and years and years and years, and you can do overhead quickly, do overhead everywhere you can in my district, because it really does have a much, it's, to me, it's a better bang for the buck. So, yeah.
You take a quick break talking to Supervisor Anaya Kirk on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are talking with District 3 Supervisor Anaya Kirk. His district covers the greater Twain Heart, Tuolumne region, up the Highway 108 corridor as well, talking about issues specific to his district and the county as a whole. Supervisor Kirk, staying on topics related to District 3, Tuolumne Road was obviously a big headache, a project in your district. You know, can you explain a little bit for anybody who's unfamiliar what happened there and the steps that were taken afterwards?
No, not Tuolumne Road. I don't want to talk about that anymore. Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, BJ, it was a simple, I would say simple, not administrative. It was, we get so many contracts and things that come before the board all the time, and Tuolumne Road was supposed to be a simple contract, you know, put it out to bid, get the work done, do the chip seal, make the road better, move on. But unfortunately, I have to be a little careful what I say, because some, you know, there's some closed door sessions that took place with Tuolumne Road, obviously, but the gist of it is, the work took place, and then immediately afterwards, it started falling apart. We all know that. Rocks started flying. I got a couple broken windshields. So, unfortunately, people went back and forth trying to, the blame game. Who's at fault, right? But come this spring, I quickly realized if this doesn't get fixed, like immediately, we're going to be dragging this on to the next year. So I got pretty vocal. We had some town hall meetings. At the end of the day, things were starting to go through, I think, litigation, and really all I cared about, all the board cared about, and I think even the provider. All we really want at the end of the day is to get the road fixed and make it a usable, good road. So fortunately, both parties came to an agreement, and we ended up doing they offered to do a different, not the chip seal, obviously, but the service that they provided. And we got it done. I think at the end of the day, it would cost the county $65,000 more due to some contractual things. And really, at the end of the day, I'm just glad it's behind us. But I know in the meantime, there's a lot of frustrated people, and we heard them. And we moved as quick as possible. I know it doesn't feel like we moved quick, but, you know, when there's contractual obligations and you have to go back and forth and back and forth and give opportunities, and there's lawyers and there's, you know, welcome to bureaucracy. That's just the way it turned out. But I truly honestly think if I didn't advocate the way we did, it probably would have been pushed off to next year. So I'm just glad it's over with. And I think if I get chip seals work, they do work. And I think if I do get another chip seal project, I'll probably have some really good questions. But I think moving forward, it was a good lesson learned, and I'm just glad it's behind us. I don't know if there's much more to say than, we have a great relationship with the tribe. A lot of people don't know that because of the amount of traffic that comes up, to the casino, you know, we have an MOU with them, and they contribute money to that MOU. So it wasn't just a county road that we had to fix. It was also in good faith to be good partners with our local tribe. Get that done right.
Staying on Tuolumne Road, is it true you're trying to get some reflectors for nighttime travel?
Yeah, it was going to be on the board meeting the other day, but the board meeting just went way too long. A lot of complaints we get. There's some spots on that road that are dangerous. We've had multiple car accidents. So I am putting in a request to put some reflectors up. I'd like to do the whole road, but that might be too expensive. So we're going to look at some key spots just to make it a safer road. Also, we have a lot of kids driving that road, you know, Somerville. So just make it a safer, better experience.
Any other things that you're working on right now?
I think a big thing, and we can talk about in a minute, is budget, but I think that will bleed on to a longer conversation. So let me just say real quick, as far as some things that have been near and dear to our board that I think are great and the community needs to know about them, is our development process within Tuolumne County. When I got on the board, I heard that there were decades of things put in place that just made it really difficult for people to develop land here. And it's been a long journey, but there's been a collaboration of the private industry, of county, of contractors, really trying to figure out how to undo some things. And, you know, what does the state require? What does the county require? Why is the county requiring more things than the state? You know, going through that whole process. And really, I think a lot of things changed, too, when we hired our housing specialists. It gave capacity to really dig into some of these issues. So really proud of the staff. Our staff under CDD and Public Works and some other partners came together. You know, sometimes the bosses think the bosses have good experience, and I know they'll take this right, you know, but sometimes you really got to ask the boots on the ground. And so they asked the boots on the ground, the people doing the work, and they came up with a lot of changes. They worked with the private industry builders to see what they could change to help expedite things. And so our board over the last couple of years has, you know, we've approved like an ADU ordinance. We just did the small lot subdivision ordinance. We've implemented OpenGov, which has allowed for refining templates and workflows. Also some things that we heard from the building industry are expediting simple things like septic repair permits and grading, and survey permits. And those are things that when you're building a home, and I've built homes before, when you're building things, time is money, and when you're waiting on the county and you're waiting on these processes and they're slow, it's not helpful. So I think that's a good thing. And I think what I want to say to all that, to the county, is I don't believe, and we will always work on improvements, but I don't believe Tuolumne County moving forward is the reason for no growth. I think we are turning that table. I think if there's going to be no growth, it's up to your utility providers, you know, your water, in those boards, if they want to stifle things or slow things down, we're turning the page, and it's no longer going to be on the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors. We're doing everything we can to make it smarter to build, to make it easier to build. We got a lot of infill projects we would like, you know, that we want to make available for people to do. I have to remind people we're 78%, you know, public land. So we're not going to turn into Modesto or the city. We're going to do a lot of infill projects, and probably any of the big growth, if it ever did take place, would be west of Jamestown. So we are turning that page, and I think that's a good thing.
You know, another hot button issue recently has been Standard Park. I know I've seen you at Standard Park before. We have kids around the same age. There's been talk about potentially having fees to attend games. Also been talk about potentially even, you know, discussions about maybe sometimes selling Standard Park. I'm just curious your thoughts on Standard Park and that issue right now.
Yeah, my thoughts on Standard Park I wouldn't say they've evolved, but they've gone back and forth. A few years ago when YSF came in, they proposed potentially leasing it or buying it. I was all on board with that, simply because I do think the private industry can usually run things better. And not only that, but I also know that our fiscal financial outlook is always a struggle. And we'll get into the budget here in a little bit. And so I would have no problem. I've said it multiple times. I'd have no problem selling it to a nonprofit or to somebody with a deed restriction that, yes, you know, this is specifically for youth and for sports, you know, so there's ways to make it work to where we don't lose what Standard Park has always been about, which is kids, right? Put our kids first. But I just know, I think the private industry can do it better. And I also know that as far as financially, it's a loss for us. We're not making money off it. Not that we're trying to make money off it, but it's not paying for itself, which is why we're talking about fees. I do think the day is coming where, and actually, we can talk about my budget here in a minute. I do think the day is coming where it's not going to be unreasonable for us to raise, you know, fees, you know, 15, 20 bucks a season to cover the cost moving forward. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's about fire and law enforcement. And if I can't keep fire and law enforcement on the streets, then I have to look at all options. So
we'll pick up on this topic in just a minute. We're talking to Supervisor Anaya Kirk on this weekend's Motherlode Views. He represents District 3. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. If you missed any of this show or past shows, you can find them archived on mymotherlode.com in the media section. We'll have more of our final segment to Motherlode Views in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking to District 3 Supervisor Anaya Kirk on this weekend show, talking about issues specific to the supervisorial districts and also county issues as a whole. Definitely want to get into all the with the supervisors about the finances and some challenging times could be on the horizon in Tuolumne County. So Supervisor Kirk, I'm curious just your thoughts looking ahead on finances and the budget challenges that are out there.
Sure. Well, I mean, we were talking about Standard Park a minute ago and about how, you know, we're looking at potentially raising the fees. And the budget and issues with the budget are nothing new. They've always been there. The difference is, you know, I kind of joke with the new board. A lot of the new members never really had to deal with a difficult budget. Prior to COVID, we had these conversations. You know, people thought we were going to, you know, close down animal control and close all the libraries. And were we looking at all the above? Yes. But then COVID hit. We got a bunch of free money. When I say free money, it's the people's money. And so we, you know, we did certain things with that. One of the biggest things we did, though, and let me back up a little bit. When I ran for office, I ran on the platform that one of the things I wanted to do was make fire and law enforcement and roads our number one priority. Why? Because it's simple. That's the county's priority. But when I got into office, I found it very difficult to get a board, to get additional voting members who would actually make that a priority. If you look at the prior board before me, how did they let TNT go from the Sheriff's Department? How have we slowly let school resources officers go from the Sheriff's Department? How have we as a society, and the answer is it's death by a thousand cuts. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. You slowly start cutting these things. And I remember living in Miwok, and there was a live-in deputy up there, and his beat was the 108 quarter up to Pinecrest, up to Kennedy Meadows. That was normal, but over the decades, things have gotten out of hand. So when I got into office, I wanted to affect change there, but I didn't have enough votes. So move forward, we get COVID monies, and I thought, what a perfect opportunity to finally fund fire and law enforcement in a meaningful way. And fortunately, our board felt the same way. We all agreed. We were having a crisis with our losing deputies, and so we dumped a lot of money into that and into fire, and we knew that it was not sustainable. Okay, so hearing from the community that they want more fire, they want more deputies, more roads, we'll talk about roads maybe later, I put my money where my mouth was, so did the board, and here it is. The problem moving forward is, how do we sustain it? So there's only a few different ways, and it's really simple. We either sustain it through a tax measure, which is Measure Z, and I hate taxes. I've voted, I think, no on all tax proposals. I think there's been three or four since I've been in office. I voted no on all of them except this one, because this one is specifically because we finally made the investments. I actually had fruit, right? We had the fruit of 17 deputies. We have these fire stations. We have additional apparatus. So you know what? I'm willing to put it out to vote for the people to back up. If Measure Z does not pass, then it's really simple math. The only way to sustain those investments moving forward is through cuts. So I know we have a new board coming online. We're losing two and we're gaining two. And so a big part of the future of law enforcement and roads and fire is going to be dependent on this board's ability to make tough decisions. I am not willing to do death by a thousand cuts moving back. Not only do I want to sustain fire and law enforcement and get some more equipment and stuff to do roads, I don't want to just sustain it. I want to build it, because although we're all excited that we got 17 deputies and whatnot, guess what? The pay raises are going to be going up across the other counties, and then we're going to be right back in the situation where we're competing. I don't like it. It is what it is. And I don't want to go backwards. So, You know, I have something I have in front of me is it's a work in progress, but I just want the community to know I hear you loud and clear, and I need two or three other votes to sustain it if Measure Z doesn't pass. And what I want to say real quick too, BJ, is whether or not Measure Z passes, we still have to make cuts. In my mind, I have a budget that has two line items. There's the baseline budget, which is prior to making the investments to fire into law enforcement, that's a budget that we have to continue to work. And it's gonna require some changes to sustain. And then I have a Measure Z budget, which is fire law enforcement roads. So if Measure Z passes, I'm with the Citizens Advisory Committee and with the new board, I'm gonna make it very clear, we basically have to have almost two budgets or at least two line items. So I hope I'm clear with that moving forward. So to kind of get ahead of it, I've basically come up with my own budget I'm starting to work on. It's without, you know, staff help. It's because I'm one board member. Some of this stuff would have to be bargained and negotiated through that contractual process. But I just want the community to know I'm looking at these, and to date I have around $8.6 million worth of cuts and changes. And they range from, position cuts to reorganizations, looking at contracts. I'm looking at cutting contracts. I'm looking at our retirement system. I'm looking at, benefits for employees. I'm looking at merging offices together. I'm looking at, let's see here. I got to be careful what I say as I read this list. I'm looking at fee studies to offset the costs of fees, like within the CDD, looking at increasing fees for things like Standard Park and other things. Also parking fees at Pinecrest. So there's a list of things that are cuts. There's a list of things that are merges. And then there's a list of things that are revenue generators. And at the end of the day, I'm up to about, like I said, $5.6 million. And that sounds like a lot of money, and it is. And there might be more, but again, this budget that I have, it would have to be, you know, audited and verified, and there might be some issues with it contractually and legally. But I'm to the point now where I'm just starting to kind of take matters in my own hand. And I might publish this before Measure Z. Either way, this will be public information in the future. But the days of it's really unfortunate because people are very extremely frustrated, including myself, at the state and federal level. Why are we in such a position that we're having to raise local taxes to fund basic things like law enforcement and fire? Why are those not the priorities? It's our number one constitutional responsibility. Why aren't there dedicated revenue streams? I don't know. I don't like it, but at the end of the day, I don't want to go backwards. I want to get TNTs back online. School resource officers are coming online. If you look at the homeless population, what's going on with that and why it's dwindling, it's because law enforcement contacts. If you look at Pinecrest and being able to do tickets and being able to enforce the law, it's because of law enforcement. If you look at the response times, and I'll say another thing too, even within fire, there might be some cuts within fire simply because we had a study that showed that in order for us to respond, you know, to the whole county, we can actually, we can do a few things different, and there could be some cost savings. We haven't had that cost savings conversation, but I've done the numbers and gotten the numbers, and I think there's definitely a savings there. So I'm looking at all the above, and it's frustrating, and I want the community to know there are changes coming. And I want the community to know that, you know, it's not just at a local level, but like we've gone to the state and we've advocated on behalf of roads and fire and law enforcement. And when we go to the state, you know what they say, BJ? They say, where's Tuolumne County? Where are you from? And we have to show them on the map. And then when we show them the numbers, how we have a $300 million problem with our road system and we can't retain deputies and we live in a high fire zone, but we don't have enough funding for fire and blah, 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 blah. Their response, BJ, is go back and tax your people. Go back and put out a ballot initiative to tax your people. And I've done that this will be the fourth time. So I would have no problem actually. And one of the things on my list, and I'll just put it out there, is, you know, why am I paying the state of California rental fees on that courthouse on Washington Street? I personally have no problem right now today sending a letter saying, I'm not going to pay you guys anymore. You're extorting money from us. I need to put that money towards fire or law enforcement. And there's a list of things that I would have no problem basically telling the state, you know, I appreciate that you want, you know, X amount of monies, but I need to keep deputies on the street. And so there's a lot of other things I could push on, but I just want the community to know I'm looking at changing some things. I'm looking at cuts, but none of it's going to happen unless I have other board members who have the same vision, and I will tell the public I have no cuts to recreation, I have no cuts to the library, and I might even have an increase to animal control. So that whole idea that I'm trying to scare people, I'm not. I'm actually going to keep those things whole and go after other things.
We've run out of time. Supervisor Kirk, thanks for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you, BJ.
Again, we thank Supervisor Anaya Kirk joining us on Motherload Views. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.